ahead and take your Bibles and let's go to Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 7. Verse 7 and 8 will be our text verses as we get started this evening. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. Kind of the thought here is, what's behind the door? You ever watch one of those game shows and the guy or the lady has to pick what door that they're going to choose their prize from? And typically there's three doors that are set up. And as they come up, they have this great decision to make. Which door is going to be my prize? So tonight we're going to look at three different doors and kind of the thing that comes behind each one of them. We're going to look at those, and in those we're going to find things that we can apply in our lives. You know, as we go through our lives, what are we looking for? We're looking for opportunities. We're looking for what the Lord has for us. And a lot of times we examine the choices that are in front of us, trying to make that best choice. And I think that's where we can be tonight. As we look at these three doors, hopefully they're going to give us what we need to help us face, as Pastor said, decisions that we may even make this week. Now, the key behind there is this. Satan will try to mess up these choices. As you go and you look at this door, Satan is going to try to get in, and he's going to try to find ways to ruin the choices, to ruin what you're going to look at this week. So the important thing is, let's prepare ourselves to be ready for the doors that God will open. I thought it was amazing tonight. The choir, one of the choir songs was Joy in Serving Jesus. Have you ever wondered how excited those people get when they go up and they're getting ready to pick their prize? And they're getting ready to choose what door they're going to open. And they get so excited. And yet as a Christian, we can find that same joy in opening the doors that God has for us. Every day with Jesus during the offertory, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. We're going to look behind these doors tonight, and behind them, we're going to find Jesus. Jesus will actually be behind every one of these doors because he's the one that has the wisdom and the guidance as we look at our lives to face each and every decision. If you would, stand with me. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 7 and 8. Our kickoff voice for this verse for this evening. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Kind of jumping off that last point there. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. There is that door. And we can go to that door and we can knock on it. And guess what's going to happen? That door is going to open, and we're going to be able to see what the Lord has for us. Let's open with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we do thank you for this night. We thank you for Lamar Baptist Church as the opportunity as your people to be back in church this evening. Dear Lord, we pray now that as we open your word, that you would just guide and direct our thoughts. Dear Lord, that your Holy Spirit will grant your wisdom. Dear Lord, that you'll touch each of our hearts and give us exactly what we need to see. Dear Lord, as we look at these three doors, help us to see where we've been, where we are now, and even where we could be in the future. And thank you for your love that flows through each and every door. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So away we go. Door number one. We go up to the door. We're going to open door number one. And what do we find? As we open door number one, it comes open. And what do we see? We see a robe. You say, oh, Mr. Tigner, that's just strange. You mean there's someone in their bathrobe behind this door? No, not at all. We're not going there. There is a white robe. It's a white robe. But where did this robe come from? Turn back in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61. This white robe is present before us. But how did that white robe get behind this door? Isaiah 61:10. It says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. This robe comes about from Jesus Christ. It's a robe of righteousness that can't be presented. But who's it presented to? How did I get it? It's here because of salvation. It's here because I've accepted Jesus Christ into my heart to be my personal Lord and Savior. That robe is there for anyone. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That robe is available for anyone that would open that door and take it. But it's a robe of righteousness. Think about this. Philippians 3:9 says, and that we may be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now, we all know the verses. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. This robe is for all those who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. For those who take the blood that he shed on Calvary and apply it to the sin in our lives. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We open that door and there's that prize. And what is it? It's a robe of righteousness which only Christ can give to those that are willing to come to him for salvation. And think about that. I can be clothed so that when God sees me, he doesn't see my sin. He sees his son Jesus. He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now think about this. How does that help me this week? Well, I now belong to Jesus Christ. He is the door by which I come to this robe of righteousness. John chapter 10 verse 9 says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. We have a tremendous salvation. The fact that we're saved from our sin and from the punishment of that sin, which is a place in hell. We're saved from that. I never have to fear. You that are saved never have to fear God's wrath because of your sin. Why? Because we've been washed in Jesus. That robe is mine. Now think about this. Every morning when I wake up, what should I do? I should go and open the Word of God and I should see that door. And I should recognize that when God talks to me today, when God works through my day, as I walk through, God is dealing with me as his son. As his child, the Bible says that we are an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ. All the blessings that God would give to his own son are now available for me. We're declared righteous through Christ. Jesus, the justifier, our Savior, proclaims us as saved for all eternity. And you look at that. He is our Savior. Now we belong to him. Turn, if you would, to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Now here's the truth. We open that door. We see this robe of righteousness. We've been clothed with the righteousness of Christ. We are his. John 10:9 talks about the fact that we are his sheep. We now are in his fold. And he is our shepherd. James chapter 5, verse number 9 says, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Now, here's another door in Scripture. And as we look through the one door of our salvation, there is another door in the background of this. And it's the door of the fact that Jesus is our judge. Now that I belong to him, he is my Savior. But he is my Lord. And as my Lord, he has the authority to judge in my life whether I'm walking with him, whether I'm talking with him. He has the authority to tell me what I need to do on a daily basis. I now have a responsibility to my God, to my Savior, to walk with him and to talk with him, to keep myself from sin. And you say, Brother Tigner, we all sin. Yes, I know. But here's the cool part. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that means on a daily basis, what happens is this. I may go through my day and pick up the stains of this world and pick up spots on my robe that I don't want to be there. But the truth is this, I can come back to Jesus and I can confess my sins to him and he washes them all away. He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I can start every day with a white robe, with no spots and no wrinkles. That's an amazing thing to think of. Every day can be fresh and new as I walk with him. Think about this. There's a door mentioned, Revelation 3, verse number 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. With that door of salvation comes Jesus into my life. And he's there. And what does he want to do? He wants to have fellowship or communion with me. But that's only going to happen as I let him in. I've got to open that door. I've got to allow Jesus to come in and be a part of my life. I've got to be willing to sit down and say, Lord, I want to spend time with you. Lord, I want you in my life today. I want you to come in my door, the door of my heart. I want you there. I want you to be a part. So as we look at this door and we see this robe of righteousness, it's my choice whether I'm going to let Jesus in. It's my choice to look at that door and look at that robe and make the decision if I'm going to walk with him today. Now you look at this, Jesus is there and he wants to give us that robe. Now wait a second, there's two more doors though. So that's a great fact. We have the door of salvation, but there's two more doors for us to look at. So we come up to the second door. And the door is open. And what do we find? We find a throne. You say, now, Mr. Tigner, that's just strange, too. You don't look behind a door and find a throne. Well, in this case, we did. So just bear with me and we'll catch up. It'll all be good. So we take a look behind this door. There's a throne behind that door. And that throne is the door of my day. It's the throne of my heart. And that throne is there for me to decide who's going to sit on it. Now, let's be honest. I like thrones. I've seen thrones in a lot of pictures. I have three girls. I've seen a lot of thrones. All those princess movies, I'm not looking over there. I'm getting glares. But all those princess movies, I've seen a lot of thrones. You watch all those princess movies when you have three girls. So you watch and you see all these thrones. Now, I can envision some elaborate thrones. You know, you see the king and all the, you know, the crown and the robe and the royal scepter. And you watch all the movies, how, you know, he commands all that authority there. And everybody loves the king and brings all these things to him. And you imagine, now listen, you've probably done this, but you're not willing to admit it. But you've probably been here where you've imagined yourself as the king or the queen sitting on the throne. And everybody's coming to you and say, hey, what would you like for me to do for you today? We've imagined that. I know my wife probably has imagined me coming to her and saying, hi, my queen, what would you like for me to do? You know, that's a good thing, the honey-do list and making all that work. So that throne is there. But the question is, who is going to sit on it? Who is going to control me today? Who is going to guide my actions and what I do? Let's go back to the book of Proverbs. A couple of verses we'll look at there. Our throne is established. It's behind that door. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse number 34. Proverbs 8:34. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. Now, in Proverbs chapter 8, this is the voice of wisdom. Wisdom crying out to man and saying, listen, I have something for you. I want to help you. I want to be with you through your day. And what does it say here? It says, blessed is the man that heareth me, that heareth wisdom, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. How many of us need wisdom to get through our days? Absolutely, we'd all raise our hands because we're all looking for that wisdom. So where are we going to find it? Proverbs 1 verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." So if we want wisdom, if we want to be wise, what are we going to do? We're going to put Jesus on the throne. We're going to make Jesus the king of my life. We're going to put him in his rightful place as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're going to acknowledge his position and his power and his presence in my life so that he can guide me. Proverbs chapter 2 verse 6, it says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." I don't know about you, but I could use some knowledge. I could use some wisdom on a daily basis with everything I face. Whether it's dealing with my family, whether it's dealing with the world, whether it's dealing with things at work, whether it's just dealing with all the things that we see around us, whether you watch the news or not. Man, there's plenty of things out there where we need God's wisdom in our lives. But we come back. How are we going to find that? We're going to find that as we put Jesus in his rightful place. And you say, "All right, Mr. Tignan, that's a great thing. I put Jesus on the throne. Now, what am I going to do to find out what he wants from me today?" Well, the two things we talk about every day. If you remember that little kid song, "Read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day." And what is happening? It says we'll grow, grow, grow. But if we neglect our Bible and forget to pray, what happens? We shrink. Brooke's singing it for me. It's cool. I love my kids. That was a good thing. Thank you, Brooke. She's back there reminding me. You know, you look at these and what happens? Don't sigh. It's okay. You look at these and what happens? I embarrassed her. I'll have to be good. It's the fact of us getting into our Bibles. You go to Hebrews 4:12. "For the word of God is quick and powerful." If I want to know what's right and what's wrong in my life, if I want to know what's right and what's wrong in decisions I'm going to make, if I want to make sure that I'm on the right path, that my heart and my soul and my life are committed to God, then I've got to get in his word and I've got to allow God's word to get in me. Jesus has to be on that throne. And if he is, then what's going to happen? I'm going to have a love for the word of God. I'm going to have a desire to get into his word and to study and to learn as much as I can about him and what he has for me. Now, the other part we already mentioned, and that's the aspect of prayer. If I'm going to put Jesus in his rightful place, what am I going to do? I'm going to get into his word, but I'm also going to pray. I'm going to be looking to him for answers. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Love it. Easy to memorize. Pray without ceasing. Probably the second shortest verse in the Bible other than "Jesus wept." So if you're looking for Bible verses to learn, there's two really good ones. You can get those fast. Sunday school, pastor Sunday school class, if you get 1 Thessalonians 5:17, I'll give you an extra piece of candy next Sunday morning. See? Wasn't that nice of me? Aren't y'all happy? You're happy. They're happy now. They're smiling. So we'll have two Bible verses next week and we'll make that work. But think about this. If I want God to be a part of my day, if I want Jesus to sit on his throne, then I've got to pray to him. Now, what is prayer? It's me talking to God. It's me alone with him. I know in my life, getting out my Bible can be very easy because I can put in the time during my day where this is my Bible time. I'm going to go to the Word of God and I'm going to spend that time. You know what the harder one is for me is finding my prayer time, because it seems like there are so many distractions. There are so many other things that come. Matthew chapter 6 verse 6, it says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which seeth in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." I've got to find that time to get alone with God. Why? Because I need to hear his voice. I need to be able to know that God is there and speaking to me and giving me that wisdom. I need to spend the time making sure that he is on that throne. and kind of go back to the first door. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I've got to take that time to confess my sin. I've got to take that time to look for Him in His Word, to allow Him in my life, and for Him to make the difference in what I'm going to be that day. It has to be about Jesus being on the throne. I have to spend that time with Him. Why? The biggest reason. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 6. Turn back there with me. Genesis chapter 4 and verse number 6. And this is the hardest thing about living in this world and living where we are. Genesis 4, 6 says, "And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why hast thou countenance fallen?" Verse 7, "If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door." You know, every day, as soon as we get up, what are we bombarded with? Sin. Sin lying at the door. And the devil wants nothing more than to get into your life and to get in my life and trip us up. Because what happens? If he can trip us up, then he not only hurts us, but he can hurt our family. He can hurt our neighbors. He can hurt our church. He can hurt others around us. Why? Because that sin lieth at the door. I've got to be careful. We're talking about our three doors, but there's another door over here, and this is the devil with his door. And he has sin waiting. And he can make it enticing and appealing and all of those things. But that's a door that we don't want to open. We all struggle with that sin. But yet we have to recognize that we can always overcome sin through the power of Christ. Now we don't. But here's the truth. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13. Very familiar verse. But how often do I actually apply this in my life? 1 Corinthians 10, 13. "There had no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful." Now, wait a second. That's probably the most important statement of that verse. But God is faithful. Is God still God? Yes. Has God changed over time? No. He's still all-powerful, all-knowing, omnipresent, everywhere all at once, able to do anything and everything that he needs to do. God has not changed. Well, you look at this verse, it says, "But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it." You know, within this second door, we can put Jesus on his throne. And when sin comes and it's sitting there, guess what? There's always a way of escape. Now the question is, do I choose to do it God's way? Or do I let sin come in? But that's our struggle. We do have that way of escape. We do have the way to make sure that if Jesus is on his throne, that he is the one who's guiding and directing my heart, that my robe can stay white and I can be what he wants me to be today, this very moment. I can be cleansed from sin. I can be walking with him. I can have the wisdom to be everything that he wants me to be. Because I've surrendered my life and allowed him to be the king. And allowed him to be on the throne. Now, you look at this. Jesus is on his throne. And now we come to our third door. We have our robe. We have our throne. And behind the third door it opens. And there's a crown. Now, think about this. What is my focus or what is my desire on a daily basis? What do I think about when I get up and when I'm going through my day? Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. Familiar verses, and a lot of you could probably quote it. It says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That crown is there, and it's supposed to be a heavenly crown. It's supposed to be the desire of our life to be able to hear Jesus say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And then to have the crown that he gives us and then be able to place it back at his feet, recognizing that we accomplished everything we do in this life because of his love and his grace and his power, because of his working in our life. But we're supposed to be laying up treasures in heaven. We're supposed to be looking at that crown. And this is a heavenly crown. This is the crown that God would give us. Colossians 3, 1 and 2, it says, "Set your affections on things above, not on things in the earth." As a Christian, we're supposed to be looking forward to what God has for us. Now you say, "Mr. Tina, what does that do?" That lets me forget all the things of this earth. It helps me to forget all the things that the devil would bring, the temptations that he would bring my way, and helps me to recognize that I'm not working towards things that this earth has to offer. Now, is there anything wrong with those? No. It's great to have a nice car. It's nice to have a house to live in. It's nice to have AC. I don't want to be off-grid, as Pastor mentioned this morning. On-grid is good. I love AC. And in the winter, I like heat. And I like cooked food. I don't like many things raw. I do like sushi. That might be my one fault there, but I like sushi. It's pretty good. But most things I like cooked. So, I'm looking at the things that this world sometimes has to offer, temporal things. I like electricity. I like my oven and stove. You know, I like those things. But my desires, the goals in my life, the thing that I should strive for on a daily basis, should be those things that God has for me, laying up treasure in heaven. 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul speaking to Timothy says, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Paul says, listen, I'm working towards a crown. I'm working towards what God has for me. My desire, if you go back to 2 Chronicles 29:3, it talks about Hezekiah. And when Hezekiah came into power as the king, what did he do? It says he, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. What did he do? He immediately saw that the church, the temple, needed to be open, that his heart needed to be right before his God, that there had to be a spiritual emphasis. And the first year, in the first month, he reopened the doors of the temple. Why? Because it was about the spiritual. It was about bringing the people back to God, putting Jesus back on the throne, and the people working towards the crown that were heavenly, that were the rewards for them doing right, for living and honoring the Lord Jesus Christ and their God. What should be our desire? To serve the Lord. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Lots of scriptures tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 8 and 9. It says, "But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost." And Paul here is speaking, and what does he say? "For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." Think about the world that we live in today. We live in a generation where communication is the fastest that it has ever been. The ability to get information out to the masses quickly is the greatest it has ever been in any time in history. Transportation is the best that it's ever been. There are over 7 billion people in the world today. How many of them have heard a true representation of the gospel? How many of them have ever seen a Bible and been told the plan of salvation? Pastor was talking about this morning the Buddhists and Muslims hearing for the first time the truth about who Jesus really is. Look at the world that we live in. It's a great door that has been opened. And we still have the freedom and the ability to go and reach our world for Jesus Christ. A great door and effectual is open unto me. Paul said it's time to get out there. I'm going to do the work that God's called me to do right here at Ephesus. And he said, I'm going to accomplish all that I can do. Turn over to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. Christ writing to the church here. This is the church of Philadelphia. And he says, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. The door is there. There is work to do. So think about this. Tomorrow morning, when you get up, not like a game show, you don't have to pick one door. Here's the amazing thing. We as Christians don't have to pick one door that we're going to go to. As a Christian, I can get up tomorrow morning and I can come over to the first door and open it up. And I can begin to confess sin and talk with my Savior. And I can make sure that I have that robe of righteousness. That I'm clothed so that when God sees me, he sees his Son. And that I'm ready for my day. Then I can come over to the second door. And it's not a big surprise. There's that throne that we talked about. And I can make the choice to make sure that Jesus is on the throne. I can spend my time in prayer. I can spend my time in the Word of God. I can ask Him for His wisdom for the day. And I can put Him in His rightful place because He bought me with His blood. And I can put Him in His rightful place as my King upon the throne of my heart, ready to serve Him through that day. And then I can come to that third door and open it up. And I can remember that my focus isn't on all the things that this world has to offer. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. I'm supposed to be laying up treasures in heaven. I'm working towards something that's far greater than anything this world could ever offer. And that's the riches in glory in Christ Jesus. That crown, so I can present it back to Him. Because of what He did and allowing me to serve Him in my life. Think about that. That first robe, that's a door to remember. If you're here tonight and Jesus has saved your soul, there can be joy that is new every morning over the fact that Jesus saved your soul and He bought you. We can go to that throne, our second door. And that's our door of surrender, giving Him what is rightfully His and saying, Lord, I'm yours today. You be my King. You work with me. And then that third door, when we see that crown, that's our door that reminds us what to strive for. The door of eternal rewards. So we're working for a heavenly prize. We're working to hear Him say, well done. I'll leave this with you. You can go back, and I'm not going to read through Psalm 24, but I'll encourage you to go back to Psalm 24 and maybe use that as tonight's reading before you go to bed. But it talks about the fact of who Jesus is and His rightful place in our lives. And that's the key to having that joy that's new every morning. That's that key of making the right choices is making sure that we're opening the doors that God has put there, and we're using all that God has given to us to accomplish His will. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, if you would, please. Go ahead and stand with me, if you would. Tonight, the question comes back to each of us. Have we opened the doors? That first door of salvation. If you haven't gone through that door, then that's the first step that God has for you. To accept His Son, Jesus Christ, as your Savior. So you can be clothed in that robe of righteousness. The second door. Christian, have we surrendered to our King? Does Jesus sit on the throne of our life? That's a daily surrender. But sometimes we do come to that point where we just need to remember, let me put Him back where He needs to be. And then to remember our desire and our focus needs to be on that heavenly crown. That we are left